And when you're recording, everything is so sensitive, man. Everything is so sensitive. Welcome to the Fauna Club Rooftop Talk. Today, I'm going to have a guest here today by the name of Taylor Lore. Ty Lore, that's what he called himself. And the topic is going to be Black Americans before Columbus. So, let's see how this is going to play out. I know a lot of people are used to the conventional way of learning, and due to the fact that they are used to the conventional way of learning, they're gonna shut this guy's thinking down, and I'm gonna be like, okay. And then one day, all this information to come out, and then they're gonna say, you know what, that man Ye was trying to put me on a long time ago, and I just didn't listen. That's what they're gonna say. So we're at the 400 today, and yeah, wait for my boy to pull up, and get it lit from there. And I know everybody don't want to hear, oh no, we all this, we all that, and I'm not excluding, because myself, my dad is from Africa. My mom is from here. Do I claim I respect it, but I'm not African. I was born here. I got African, you know, blood in me, but I'm not African. And neither do they recognize me as an African. Oh, man. That's where we at. This is where we are. Okay, we're just chilling right now. Wait for him to pull up. We got about 3 minutes. Soon I'll be streaming using YouTube. But for now, I'm going to stick with my shit. My audio shit.
Came from nothing, now I'm moving with precision in my step. Every goal I ever wanted, swear to God I never slip. Pressure made me sharper, turn the fire in my chest. Now I walk into the room and every doubter looks impressed. I don't beg, I don't fold, I don't wait for any chance. I create the whole momentum, I control my circumstance. Every setback was a lesson, every loss became a win. I'm the one they try to copy, but can't match the discipline. I move like a boss, never taking a loss. Everything I touch, I turn it into gloss. I rise like a boss, no matter what it costs. I walk through the fire and never feel exhausted. I don't flex for approval, I don't need them to applaud. I've been grinding in the shadow while they slept and prayed to luck. Success don't come to dreamers, it comes only to the few. Who keep pushing when it's painful, when the whole world says you're through. My mind's a loaded weapon, my vision razor sharp. I make moves that shake the table, leave an imprint, leave a mark. Every night I work in silence, every morning I advance. I was born for heavy pressure, I don't crumble, I ain't nice. I move like a boss, never taking a loss. Everything I touch, turn it into gloss. I rise like a boss, no matter what it costs. I walk through the fire and never feel exhausted. Watch me from a distance while pretending they don't care. But my glow is undeniable, I put power in the air. I came up without excuses, without shortcuts, without fear. I kept running through the storm until the sunlight reappeared. Now the crown is on my head because I earned it with my grind. Step by step, brick by brick, I left to hold me far behind. So when life becomes a battle and they question what you got, stand your ground, go harder, show the world you can't be stopped. I move like a boss, never taking a loss. Everything I touch, I turn it into gloss. I rise like a boss, stronger than I was. Made myself a legend, yeah, I do it like a boss.
Hey, good afternoon on the motherfucking East Coast. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. But on the West Coast, it's about 11, 11:30. So I'm waiting for somebody to pull up. I've been trying to get him in for a while. And that's what we're waiting for. Animal, we done had a conversation on this topic plenty of times, bro. And it's like for people that's used to the indoctrination, to them it's going to be something that's going to, they can't believe. It's going to be something false to them. You get what I'm saying? And I'm here to break that. I'm here to break everything that you believe in while you bobbing and weaving. That's what I'm here for. So hopefully you pull up. You know what I'm saying? He pull up and let me have this conversation. Man, he got a lot of views online. You know, I like to bring people here that I like to bring people here on the app that doesn't really know about the app and that's not on the app. You know what I'm saying? Like people that really got the numbers. You there, Animal?
Yeah, I'm here again. I'm just relaxing. Waiting for the brother to pull up. So we could get into it, man. Dive into some of this history. Hopefully you provide some links where we could go do more research on our own, you know. I'm very interested.
Let's see. We're not pulling anyone up until I just want to have a conversation with him. And if you want to do a Q&A, I'm with it. But for now, I just got to focus everything on this guy. Give me 2 minutes. Man, you're wasting the black. You're worse than the blacks. This is Kai. Let me see. Oh, it's Kai. I know her. Where have you been, lady? I didn't see you in a long time. This is one of the rooms that where I do my interviews at. Because what I do is I come on here, I keep my audio. I get my audio from this platform, then I transfer it to all the other platforms. I just use this just for the base. But he said, give him 2 minutes. I just gave him a text just now. If you see him, you can bring him up. I'm playing my little music. So what's the convention? Let's say the conventional way of thinking is that the out of Africa theory is stamped. This is what everybody believes. And I always say, well, if you listen to it, listen to words, it says theory, a theory. It's a guess, a hypothesis, what someone else has. It's not stamped. And they have to put these words in these type of ways because they can get sued. You know what I'm trying to say, bro? Just like you said. Just like if they had those DNA tests and they were like, well, you know, this is for entertainment purposes only. Or you're on Instagram or something like that. And you tell them this is for entertainment purposes only so you don't get sued or, you know, possibly face jail time, right? So the proof being the pudding. The proof being the pudding is just that I think people are too lazy to start breaking things down. And that's why everyone believe one thing. A lot of things that have been put in place has been getting unraveled now. And this is a shitty day. It's a shitty day for those who try to keep this shit up. But for me, I'm loving it. Oh, what is this? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here, gang. I'm just listening to you, waiting for the gentleman to pull up.
Yeah, I'm just seeing if my audio okay. My audio okay?
No, you sound loud and clear, bro. It's really, really good.
I was about to say, too loud.
Nah, the soundboard is popping off. Good, man.
That's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we are right now. You know, like you said, we ever had conversation with people that's older than us on this app, and they believe like, hey, nah, that's bullshit. I'm like, yo, bro. If I'm telling you at the age of 5, 6, 7, my granny was 72, and she's telling me that my family is Blackfoot Indians, right? And then I start doing my research, and I start finding out that indigenous people are just like anywhere else on the planet. They were dark and melanin of skin, and but because you lost your way, you don't have a granny or anyone to tell you where you're from, or your granny was from a certain place. It's not my fault. I mean, you can't knock the shit that I had going on. You say you're downloading it. You know what I'm saying? You can't knock that. Like it wouldn't make sense. I didn't know I needed to join.
I mean, most of the people can't tell you where the people were from past their great, great grandparents.
Yeah.
Like, so I went to my father's mother and father are from Culpeper, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Well, when I went to Culpeper to seek documents of where they were from, because we had land there and stuff, well, they told us conveniently, you don't have any documents because the municipal building had burned down. So
the building burned down?
Yeah, with all the documents on it.
They said that on fire.
Kind of, yeah, of course. Like, it's kind of convenient. So,
right.
Most people have trouble tracing, especially in America. And it's kind of funny to me, like, you know, how other people can document themselves, but we can't.
Right.
It makes it very interesting.
Why do you think it's so important for them to conquer the American land? Why do you think that? It has to go back somewhere.
It's the land of milk and honey.
Milk and honey. What color is honey? Mm. I mean, like, 'cause people use certain things, you know, subliminal to others. You know what I'm saying, bro? Milk. What is milk? What does milk do? Quote unquote, nourishes.
Yeah, for sure.
The land that nourished. The land that's fertile. Humanity. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So do we need, like, probably, like, go break it down, like, look it up and see if we can get down to the you know, the origin of it, like, see where it's coming from? The land of milk and honey.
I mean, you know, at this point, like, I would rather, like, get back to the roots, man, the essence, and I don't really want to Google. I would really want to go get in that library, the Library of Congress, you know, and start getting into some of these books,
mm-hmm.
right, to bring forth the evidence. Because, you know, it's kind of funny that old little statement they used to use, you want to hide something from a nigga, put it in the book, it still kind of remains true to today.
Trying to get this audio fixed back here. For some reason, I just don't know why this shit always does this. But yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly, bro. You know, and the things is, you know, where's the breadcrumbs? Where are the breadcrumbs for the books that we need to read? So not only did they put it in the books, they hid it. You know what I'm saying? Like they made it a fucking puzzle. For us to try to figure out.
He's here, yeah.
Huh?
He's here.
His ear?
He's here. The gentleman's here.
Oh, shit. Bring him up, man. Hey, what's going on, bro?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right, man. My bad. I never used Clubhouse before, man.
That's okay. I thought you probably may have got my message when I said download... make a profile. You probably know what I was talking about. I should have been a little bit more explanatory with it. How's it going, man? How's it going over there where you at?
I'm all right, man. It's a change of season, so it's getting hot. So it's, you know what I mean, it's nice.
Yeah, you in Cali. Wait, but it said you were from, where are you originally from, as a matter of fact?
I'm from Jersey originally.
Jersey the building. Yes, building. Sir. We all from Jersey. You both from Jersey. I'm from East Orange, New Jersey. My brother's from East Orange, New Jersey, born and raised.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm from I'm from Willingboro. I don't know. That's like kind of near Trenton.
Oh, yeah. We know Willingboro. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Y'all had the pretty black girls back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This always goes on. I hate it when this happens. So let me try to do this real quick. So I wanted to get my little music thing up here, but for some reason it's acting up. I don't know what's been going on lately. Give me a second. You can actually delete the app after you get finished. So it won't be, because I wouldn't recommend you to stay on this app. This app is hell. I mean, you could tell him, right, Animal? This is hell.
I mean, we could always tell him how to
navigate,
curate safe spaces, but yeah, this app can be kind of funny and interesting at times. But like anything else, I use it for a tool, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I know something, like a lot of people, I always hear like WAC 100 uses the Clubhouse. I never really knew anybody else that used it.
Yeah, we use it. I just use it for my audio. So let's get it. Let me do this real quick so we can start this party. You know what I mean? Let's go.
Yeah. Welcome to the top. With a view different. Yeah. 400 club, we rise above. Rooftop talk real, one show love. No fake vibes, just truth we speak. Strong minds build every week. We break it down.
All right, welcome to the 400 Club Rooftop Talk. Hey man, I got my man Taylor Lord here. I've been trying to get him on this, you know, the podcast for a while now. I've been chasing you down, Taylor. I've been chasing you down, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sucks. I usually only have time on the weekends, and it was just like and then we got the one day I was gonna do it, but we had the time zone mixed up. I fucked up on that one.
It's all good, man. It's all good. So our title is gonna be Let me get to it. Our title is going to be Black American Before Columbus. A lot of your content is very, I want to say peculiar. It's interesting to me, right? Because out of all things, you chose to put out the truth about how America was before pre-colonial and the people of America and who they were, what they looked like, the scriptures and everything. That is fascinating. Tell me something, man. What made you choose that line of work to try to, you know, that type of content?
Man, I think I went through a lot of the same process, I guess, as anybody that just wants to dwell in reality, man. I just, you know, I was just studying humanity, I guess, and, you know, the migrations of humanity and the way they posited things that have happened, and certain things just didn't add up. And when I was exposed to certain concepts, I feel like... you know, more stuff just was coming. Like I took Dr. Africa's course, 2011, and he had a guy that was moderating the course, and his name is Pharaoh. It's at Pharaoh's House on Instagram. He's an older gentleman. He kind of put me onto these concepts, but I didn't have any like imagery or really anything. He's an older guy. He wasn't really tech savvy, so he was just telling me certain things, but I didn't. You know, it really helps, I think, this era to give you visuals now, like visual prompts with the concepts, so it sticks better. So, like, after he told me certain things, like about the Mississippi being the Nile and stuff, I remember, like, I think it was like 2019, I started seeing people making memes like that. I think that was the when I first came across UBTV's map of America. And then, so, it all made more sense, like, he was a pretty good teacher in that way because he didn't just like outright tell me everything. He like would put me in a way where I could, you know, figure out for myself and like tap into my own drive to want to learn stuff.
So he basically gave you some breadcrumbs and you picked it up. He didn't try to force it on you. He gave you time just to, you know, go to your own investigation and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's definitely a good teacher that way. And so that's how I guess certain things didn't really bother me when I was exposed to them, you know, like
was it a culture shock?
No, I mean, it made sense to me because, like, you know, my background being what it is, it didn't bother me. Like, my mom's mom is black, and then my brother's dad is black, so You know, me and my brother don't really look alike. And I always had that, you know, that other alternative, I guess, with from the mainstream, you know, thinking as far as like certain concepts and, you know, things just not being true or not being what they say, you know, totally. So I was always kind of just open, I think. I never really had any firm assumptions. I was just like, hey, you know, if I get new evidence, then I'll adjust to it. And then I feel like, because I wasn't like married to anything. I didn't have like my identity wrapped into certain things. You know, I think sometimes like a lot of people, you know, like Pan-Africanism, people have their whole identity. I could never be like, yo, I'm Pan-African, you know? So, I mean.
Yeah, I was talking about that, that out of Africa's theory and it comes with Pan-Africa. So to me, I think that those people colluded. They came with each other, you know, to devise some type of plan, because you already know people want to take people off the land so they can own it. How do a lot of people respond to your context, your content? A lot of, both white and black, Spanish, Native American, not American, Indian, Native American. How do these people respond to your content?
I think the only people that really respond favorably would be the so-called Black American, like people that have spent time with them. Mm. I don't think like generally speaking, like so-called Black people of the world are not. They're not favorable in their response to what I'm saying. And so-called white people is about the same. But and then a good portion of so-called Black America does not like what I'm saying either.
We were just talking about that earlier. How the older generation refused to believe this, that they could possibly everything could possibly started from here. So I seen hey, good morning, Hope. Good afternoon. In your content you were talking about how Black Americans are indigenous to America, right? And I said, you know what, if this was a Black man telling these people that, they would not believe it. It's always like that. I love Ms. Hope, but Ms. Hope does not believe Black Americans come from America. She's with the out of Africa theory too. What is your take on that?
Like on the out of Africa theory or just about generational separation there?
Yes, that part.
I think it's, you know, again, I think people's identity is really tied to it, because I think they feel like if they take their foot off that, it's like first base or something. If they take their foot off that base, they feel like they're going to be out. Like they say, like, well, I'm not. They kind of feel like they're already estranged. And then if they were to sever themselves from Africa, then I feel like then they feel even more like an orphan in the world. I think, that, you know, and then also the trauma bond, like, you know, kind of like a Stockholm syndrome.
Mm. Where's your proof that America was that America is basically the place where everyone came from and migrated over other areas? Where's your proof of that? Like, what is your logic behind it?
I would start more so, I guess, with what people are labeling archaeology, and looking into what some people call meltology. You know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the like hashtag meltology or that whole idea of meltology, that a lot of these rock formations are actually melted metropolises. And if you look at like a lot of boots on the ground, I guess, discoveries or investigations into that, you can see that these are buildings. You know, these were whole massive grids that were melted down in some sort of cataclysm. So when looking at the world, you can see that there was a lot more civilization in the Americas than anywhere, and in Asia being the close runner-up, and then Europe being the third, and then Northern Africa and East Africa being fourth, and then Sub-Saharan Africa being, you know, not virtually untouched, but not nearly as touched as the rest of the world. And then you look into like the tunnel networks. There's so many more subterranean tunnel networks in the rest of the world, you know, outside of Africa. There's so much more beneath the surface outside of Africa. And it's not to say that the people that live and dwell in Africa now are not capable. It's just that I feel like they came later from these other parts of the world. You know, and that, so that development just was later, like more so as a survival, because the world around us was, or around them, was collapsing. And they had to go into that part of the world. I don't feel like that was, I think, you know, if you look at certain maps, there's no pyramids on the maps between, before like 1590. And I just feel like the timeline. So you look at Meltology, Meltology throws off the timeline, you know, as far as like what we've been given. And then you, so you're looking at the timeline a totally different way. And then you're like, you know, a lot of these events are scrunched. It's not so separate, you know, like you look at like so-called Egyptian art, uh-huh, and it's like static for like 6,000 years. And you're like, this is because it's not a 6,000 year period. This is a way shorter period, you know, than what we've been given, you know. Right. So it's because like art would evolve over time. I mean, you could look at just like, in, you know, any form of art, whether it be rock and roll or hip hop or whatever, like it changes form.
Always change forms, right? Always changes, yeah.
6,000 years of the same art is crazy.
Okay, let me ask you this question. If Black America were already here, how do you explain the transatlantic slave records?
No, I feel like there was definitely a movement by ship in the Atlantic. They weren't coming from Africa. Like, they were coming from, you bringing people from South America to North America and from North America to South America by way of the Caribbean. And, you know, mm-hmm, every direction as far as that, like just a scrambling of the Americas. You know, you probably had some African influx, but
not as much as they're presenting on paper, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that people were moved around. Like, you look at King Philip's War, they take all them people out from the Northeast and then ship them to the Caribbean, and then they get shipped from the Caribbean to South America.
Right.
Same thing. Yes. So it's a lot of evidence of people being moved around within the Americas.
Because they claim it was for slavery. They claim it was for, like, you know, development, new development. And they had people come in different countries with, by the way of the government, to build. And they said about new development. But we all know that they started shifting people out of the Americas to other places and say they came from there because they wanted a land grab. Once somebody leave the land or abandon the land, the next person, next group of people come in and claim it. We know that for a fact, right? Do you believe that all Black Americans are indigenous, or just like a certain group, certain groups?
I think a lot are. I mean, I guess it's like a funny thing as far as like indigenous, like in that sense, because I think some are just from South America. I think they're like more kingdoms. They're from kingdoms of South America, and they crossed through this, you know, so-called slave trading process. So I think a lot of people, and then you have, you know, so-called Black Europeans that were part of the colonization process, that, you know, there's definitely remnants of that within so-called Black America. So I think
a part of the colonization process. So you basically saying that they were the ones who captured Black Americans too?
Yeah,
is that what you're leading to?
Yeah, I'm saying that like the original colonists from Europe were of dark hue, and right, that, so you go down the line, a lot of people that have so-called, you know, anglicized names, that they come from Black Europeans and Aboriginals. Like, so it's like, so I feel like it's a mix in that way. But I think outside looking in, people just say these are all Black people.
Well, we already know that the United States gave that name, that word, Black, to the people of this land. We already know that. So we know that's not really a broad stroke, unless you believe something else differently.
No, I know. Yeah, it's definitely like a technology, like a psychological technology, that word, in a lot of respects. Definitely a creation to falsely identify.
Hey, so why do you think that most of these archaeologists and historians support this claim? Why do you think so?
Well, I think a lot of it is just like the grant system. A lot of it is, you know, where they're getting funded and how they're getting funded and what they're told to look for. I think if you are told to look for something instead of just being objective, then I think that you're going to find what you're looking for one way or another. Like, if you're looking for a footprint somewhere going in one direction, I mean, I'm sure that you're going to find it if you keep looking enough, you know? So I think, you know, they build their story around what they're not being objective. So I think with the world being the way it is, you just got to think about it, like, in a more advanced civilization, it would be the same way. It would still be like immigrants all over. It might have been more controlled, not people just, you know, squatting on land like they are now. But I think it would still be like a lot of travel, you know, and autonomous, more like free energy world. I don't think that people aren't going to move around. You're still going to have so-called Africans and Europeans in America and vice versa. Like, people will be everywhere, just like they are today, just even more probably. Like, I think a greater population of people, I think there was way more people on Earth. Mm-hmm. And I think that they had a greater ability to travel. So I think people were everywhere.
So you believe that, like, that landmass was all together at one point, theory, too?
I don't know about that. I just think that people definitely traveled everywhere.
I don't know about that. All right, living in the world of technology, right? You already know we can use ChatGPT, we can use Grok, we can use Google. When it comes down to you, how you feel in your claim, right? You say that you feel as though everything that you believe in and everything that you have researched so far, it comes to be true. What records from before slavery supports your own position, my boy?
Like, which position exactly?
I mean, your position is that Black Americans come here, that all the Black folks, we got that out the way, but Black Americans are, you know, indigenous to this land.
I mean, there's like really no other circumstance in history that I can think of. Mm-hmm. And I feel like from my research that where a population becomes enslaved and actually booms in number. Mm-hmm. You know, like, usually when you're enslaved, you lose numbers. You know what I mean? Because you're getting the worst feed. The food you're getting is the worst, and you're not kept in the best. You're not kept in prime condition. Mm-hmm. So the so-called Black American boomed in numbers, while, you know, if you look at anywhere else in the world, you know, mm-hmm. as far as the slave trade is concerned,
right?
You know, they lost numbers. So any type of person that was ever enslaved or, you know, caught up in some type of trade like that, prisoner of war trade or what have you.
Oh, there we go. That's that word. That's that word right there. Ooh, you opened it up already. So you believe that Black Americans are prisoners of war, right? That's what you believe?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think slave is a genetic determination more than, because like if somebody like goes in your house and like ties you up or something, that don't make you a slave. You know, just
right.
Yeah.
That's exactly true to me. I mean, like I said, this interview is going to bust a lot of people's brains. They want to believe one thing. They really don't want to do the work. Me and my bro was talking about this earlier, Animal, on the phone, like how people put, they say, you put things in the book and the Black man don't want to read it. And my thing is like, okay, it's in the book. How hard are you going to make it for us to get this information? That's my thing, right? So when I seen you on the internet, and before I asked you to do an interview with me, I was like, yo, how can this white man believe all of this shit? Like, even it's just people that's putting this information out, right? So let me ask you a question, right, with this one. Can African ancestry and indigenous ancestry both exist without contradiction?
Like, were they here?
Here? Yeah.
Like, were the so-called Native Americans here?
But not the Native American. I just said indigenous. So, oh, I'm bugging. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the thing. It gets tough, right? Trying to explain this. I feel like it's
because the thing is, we talking about Black Americans are indigenous, and then I'm pretty sure you heard how that you know, Africa had a big influence on Black America at one point. Animal can put his hands up to that and say, yeah. That's why I asked that question. Can African ancestry and indigenous ancestry both exist without contradiction if you believe that Black Americans are indigenous to the Americas?
Like, are they opposed to each other?
Not opposed to each other. Can they exist without contradiction? So basically, like, okay, all right, let me give you this is what I think, right? I think that before the Christopher Columbus thing, right, before he came over here, I feel like 1,500 years before they even came, they was already doing trades with people all over the world, melanated people, right? And so the thing is, just like you're dealing with today's time, if a group of people come over here to do trade from development of, you know, contracts between the governments, they would bring their cultural traditions over here too. So if those people back then 1500 years before Christopher Columbus came over here, they could have adapted the people's traditions, and some of those people could have came over here, and then they share culture. But would it be a contradiction saying that, okay, we're not that? This is not exactly what we are. We just share culture. I guess I just answered that goddamn question for you. But did you get it somewhere?
No, I think, I mean, it's just like some people in America, they go to they put Afro beats on or whatever. You go to Africa, they might listen to whatever, you know, Kendrick or something. So I think it's always going to be some overlap. You know, I think it's always going to be some type of cultural exchange there, mm-hmm. for sure. I feel, again, because like if it's a unified world, if we're having a more advanced civilization, you're going to have a unified world. It's not like people are going to be like closed off. It's going to be a flow of energy and flow of exchange. So I think a lot of stuff is going to overlap. So I don't think it necessarily means like that. Yeah, they contradict each other or they're opposed or anything like that. So I think, yeah, some people are going to take certain things from other people and vice versa. I mean, I think the land determines a lot of the temperament. You know, if you live in a certain area, I mean, then again, it's like a whole nother way to look at it. Like, how was the climate even when people were unified? Was it the same? But I guess if you talking outside of that, if you were to go to a high elevation place, they're going to teach you how to live in high elevation. You know, if you live in low elevation, it's going to be a different means of doing so. And people are going to have good ideas and some people are going to exchange those ideas. So I think that's going to happen regardless, you know. So I don't think that. I think if people were more so just working together, everybody kind of knew their position.
Sorry about that.
You know, I don't think there's any part that's like less valuable. Just like any part of your body, I feel like is valuable, that you don't want to give up any part of you. So I think it's the same thing. Like, it's just that the head is the head. And I think a lot of people, you know, it's the fight for who the head is.
And I agree with that. So listen, welcome to the 400 Club Rooftop Talk, man. It's your boy Ye here. You're here on a Saturday, 3:02. I'm here with Taylor Lore. I've been on the internet and I've been seeing his content float heavy. Like, he has a lot of material on Facebook and you got YouTube too, right?
Cause I see I'm on YouTube.
You can tell the people who you are once again before we really get into it. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, Taylor Durden on YouTube, _ Taylor Durden on Instagram. My TikTok just got deleted, but I made another one. It's _ Taylor Durden _. And then, I'm Tao Lore on Facebook. Yeah. So, you know. And so,
hey, they deleted your TikTok, so you must be going against the...
Yeah.
Why did they delete this? What video that was put up that made them delete your TikTok?
It was deleted without warning, man. And I tried to appeal. They didn't even give me... It wasn't like there was like, hey, we're deleting you because this video, or... It was just deleted without warning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had got a strike on a video. I think it was about the recess centers. I made a video about recess centers. And I got a strike, and then I was like, all right, I'm going to just be easy. I don't want to lose the whole channel. So I just stopped posting. And then they mm-hmm. still deleted me.
Okay, look, this is what I want to do for you right now, right? Like, I did a little question and things like that, right? So are you open for a cue? Oh, here we go. It's tripping. My shit is tripping today. Do you?
No, you're good, bro. You're good. You're good.
I'm good? Okay, are you open to have a Q&A?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so anybody that want to come up from the crowd and want to ask some questions, you can put your hands up, or you know what I'll do? I'll open up the stage, and if you want to have this this Q&A with them, this course, visit that. Come on up, but be respectful, because if you're not respectful, I'm going to shoot you down. He's not from Clubhouse. Like I said, I told you I was going to bring different people from different platforms on here, and that's what I'm doing. And I have discussions with a lot of people. So I was interested in talking with him because unlike a lot of other people, they feel as though that all black people in America, they feel like their origin comes from Africa. And he believes the opposite. He believes that the black American are the indigenous people of America, quite the opposite. And so I was like, you know, let me get him on and see how he feels. And let's see how the people of... Clubhouse feel about it too. Animal, you there, bro?
Yeah, I'm here, bro. What's going on?
You want to talk to you, bro?
Peace. How do you say your name, brother?
You can just call me Taylor.
Taylor? Pleasure, yes, man. I'm Animal. I'm from Jersey as well. That's Ye. Told you earlier. And I'm of similar thought processes and constructs. I just normally don't tend to publicly verbalize them. I've been kind of going down this rabbit hole for a long time. So I want to ask you, like, how did you get started and why to start there?
I guess it started like kind of like in my household. You know, my mom was kind of like conspiracy minded, and my brother, we shared a room. We had different dads, but after his dad passed, he moved in with us, and he was reading Behold a Pale Horse when I was like 8. He was like 15, so that kind of put me on the track of like questioning stuff. And then I was playing sports, so like I had a trainer. And in 2008, he's just an older guy that was helping me work out. He put me on a SEBI in 2008, and that got me into fasting. And then that brought me into breath work and the Metu Netter. And so that's what like got me into, I took Dr. Africa's class, and that's where I met the man named Pharaoh. He's still around. He's on Instagram at Pharaoh's House. He's an older guy. I think he's like in his 80s now. He was the one, I guess, that gave me a lot of the concepts, you know, the initiative to question some of these concepts. You know, I had already, I feel like, come to a certain point to where it didn't bother me, though. Like, I feel like as far as out of Africa and what a so-called white person is and all of that stuff, I feel like I had already primed myself enough to where I had, you know, I had questions that I needed to be answered. And so I was just looking more so for elders and people that had that line of thinking. And that brought me to Pharaoh and Dr. Africa's Natural Path course and everything. Because, I mean, SEBI, I feel like, was great in a lot of ways, but he didn't communicate it in a mainstream way as far as, like, biochemistry. And I feel like Dr. Africa really did a good job of that. And then Pharaoh was another level.
Copy. It's crazy. I don't know if it's like a Jersey thing or how we were raised, because I tend to find a lot of us are different thought processes and teachings, if you understand what I'm saying, right? Our journey is a lot different to other people, right? So that's pretty interesting, because I got put on the SEBI maybe like, man, 2010, 2011. One of my good friends, he was given like seven days they gave him to live. And his mom is actually from Trinidad, and she was a nurse, but she was an old school nurse. And she told him to go seek him out or whatever the case may be. And his mom talked about light and stuff a lot, and the use of light and energy and radio frequencies. So, make a long story short, he went to see SEBI, and SEBI, like, you know, corrected his diet and habits or whatever the case may be. And he's still alive today when the doctor said so. That's pretty interesting. Hats off to you for your journey. But yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Goals, we building kings, we molding souls. So.
Okay, so I want to get back to the question, right? Why do you think this conversation has become so emotionally charged, people? Because we had that conversation about, you know, other melanated people around the world not taking lightly to how you, you know, how you feel in your research. Why do you think it became an emotional charge? I want you to be able to explain that.
I mean, I think it upends the status quo. And so everybody is like, they kind of satisfied with their status, whether they're being a victim or whatever it is. I think they kind of, for whatever reason, they have an attachment to that. So I think that's a lot of it.
Oh, so you talking about like status correction and stuff like that too, huh?
Yeah. You know, if you're saying Africa's not the origin and that these people don't come from these people and
right.
different types of so-called black people that come from different nests, then it upends the whole like hegemony, you know what I mean? Because everything is pretty right. like, yeah, I mean, everything
it's like you're kind of like knocking them off of their throne, or knocking them off their throne right now, like, nah, we are the first, nah. And then now you got to be like, nah, listen, that information I was giving out was false. We're going to give you some real shit here. So they're going to fight back from that status. So let me ask you this question. It's self-explanatory, but you know, other people, you know, they I don't want to sound too crazy talking about the people that's listening to. I don't want to sound like I'm insulting them, right? Is there a difference between being born in America and being indigenous to the land?
Yeah, I mean anybody born somewhere is native to that place, but that's different. I mean, being native, you know, like you look at your natal chart, you know, has everything to do with like where you're born, what time you're born. That shows your nativity, you know, but that doesn't mean that you're, you know, indigenous or autochthonous to the place. So a lot of people are native because they were just born there. Like if you have a kid in China, your kid's, you know, native Chinese, but he's not he's not autochthonous, you know, to the place, you know. So it's, I think that's a sleight of hand there that happens, you know, a misnomer, like sleight of hand that kind of gives credence or momentum to the so-called natives of the world.
Yeah, because legally anybody can be native, basically. You're a native.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I was born in Jersey, so I'm native right. to Jersey. Yeah.
Right, yeah. right. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's the thing, like you were saying, now everything has to switch up. Even dealing with the government, if they start admitting these things, it's going to happen. And I've been seeing a lot of things online that's showing that they've been giving back the land to the indigenous people of the America, and that's sending like it ruffles a lot of people feathers. What historical events do you think changed or erased identity the most?
I feel like there's been several resets and reset wars. So like, I guess the most recent, I mean, I guess it's tough, man. It's hard to start in the middle, you know, but I could say, you know, Civil War or War of 1812, American Revolution, 1476. I feel like those are, you know, and like in 1690, I feel like those are big periods or big reset periods, you know?
Right.
So it's just been like a gradual degradation since the 1400s, you know, so it's hard to pinpoint like one. I guess you could say American Revolution really is where things change hands drastically.
Get a number on it.
Yeah,
I see Miss. I'm looking in the chat, and Miss Hope came up. What someone believe is not the same as what is.
Hey, what's up? Hello. No, I mean, I've been listening, you know, and I've been listening to see if I can could gather any type of scholarship, something that I could go and refer to understand what he's saying. I mean, one thing I hear him say, you guys said something about the Outer Africa theory, right? No, I have a few questions, right? So now, mind you, I'm just trying to figure out, the Outer Africa theory is the closest theory that explain the human family in its beginnings, yeah, or whatever. Now I'm gonna ask. So, what would profit? And then we'll speak about archaeologists and maybe, you know, people do fraud. But what would it profit? What does it profit? Or what would it profit these most of the time white archaeologists who would spend their life die sometimes to figure out and study and archaeologically findings to give us somebody's determination? What does it profit them? to do this for the continent of Africa. Why? You get what I'm trying to say? To this dish to the world. Because I've been listening and I haven't found anything. I don't, you know, I'm trying to find some of the stuff that you're saying. And like I say, you know, what people believe and what somebody think is far stretched from what a thing is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the theory of evolution and the out of Africa theory go hand in hand. I think that they're intimately tied. So when you take out of Africa, then you destroy theory of evolution. And then that destroys the so-called white hegemony, because ultimately, right, it's like these people left Africa. They evolved to live in Europe in these different places. Their skin supposedly lost color out of evolution. And in a lot of respects, they're basically like saying, like, theory of evolution is like, this is just the theory. I'm not saying I agree with it, obviously, that people come from primates and then they were so-called black and then they became more evolved and became white. So it's more like that's kind of the reinforcement for so-called pale people or white people to go and, you know, have that initiative to reinforce that idea that we come from, everybody comes from Africa because that promotes their status.
So let's say they didn't come from Africa, they come from somewhere else. I don't know. And the time, can you put a time on the beginning of humans or modern humans? What is the time there?
Like the timeline?
I'm just saying, you know, like how we're saying slavery happened in between the 1500s and the 1800s, right? That is not the beginning of humans, you know? Beginning of humans now. What is the time frame? Because if you can determine a time frame, then one would understand that a whole bunch of environmental and scientific things that would have happened, that there would not be an explanation for it for the people who are going through that. You get what I'm trying to say? But until they get to where they get to. This is why archaeology comes in play now. Do you understand? We're talking about millions or possible hundreds of thousands of years it took for the human family to become what it is today. You know?
Yeah, that's why I would say look into meltology, and I would lean more into kind of the biblical timeline of things only being like 6,000 to 7,000 years.
Excuse me, that's a technical call, okay?
Yeah, just continue talking. It's okay. Like, she doesn't realize she's on a podcast.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was saying, I think the biblical timeline is more so accurate, because it kind of lines up as well, like with the Chinese calendar or so-called Chinese calendar, as far as being like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years out is when, I guess you could say things were initiated, creation here in this place, but. You know, I think if you look at, like, you look at the Bible, you look at Samuel and Joshua, they reference the book of Jasher, and they say that during the book of Jasher, there's a line where supposedly the sun stands still. And if you just couple that with meltology, you know, I always stress meltology, because it's like we're looking at archaeology, but the surface of the earth has drastically changed in, you know, a few hundred years because of these events that are baked into the system. Like, if you're looking at Cappadocia, Turkey, you can see, I mean, there's plenty of examples in America, but I think Cappadocia is one of the more recent events, you know, that's like the remnant of a more recent event. So you can see, like, okay, these are buildings that went through some extreme heat event, and the surface of the earth has, you know, transformed because of that. So, like, how much can we really trust archaeology? Mm-hmm. And then everybody always says, well, we have to trust the timeline because of comets, because the cyclical nature of comets. And I'm like, well, if the sun can stop supposedly, then I think that things can transform. Ultimately, the will of the whoever designed this, they have the will to stop anything on a dime. So I think that you can't really look at it like, okay, this is Halley's Comet. It comes every so often. So that means it validates the calendar this far out. I think, like, well, at any point in time, the creator of this thing could be like, all right, reset all of this. So mm-hmm. I think that it's difficult to really pinpoint the actual timeline. I think that's what we're all kind of trying to reconstruct as best as we can.
So you gotta relearn everything, right? And it's getting to the point where everybody just want to, you know, stick to one thing. We're going to be right back, all right? We got you. Let's go.
To a mastermind, no filters here, no highlight lies. We analyze what they disguise, from social fees to inner goals. We building kings, we molding souls.
We are back. Welcome to the 400 Club Rooftop Talk. You already know, man. You got your boy Ye here. Man, we've been here for a minute. And I think it's been going good. I know the hard questions that came. I don't know. You know, I know people want to come and say some other things, but I want people to be really respectful, right? And so, like, we're here with Taylor Lore. I saw him on Facebook, and he has a lot of content out there, like thousands and thousands and thousands of views. And so the title is Black America Before Columbus. I think you're here for someone that's basically not of you, not of us, not of our you. He still has you, and see what you guys think if you want to challenge him, because his research is vast. And so I'm like, okay, let's bring somebody in here that's not us and see if we can get it into their fucking. Oh, excuse me, I'm gonna have to blink that out. You get it in their head that, hey, man, but everything that you have been taught has been a lie. Everything you have taught has been a lie. Why are you comfortable? Why are people comfortable with being lied to? That's something to think about. Okay. If new evidence disapproves some of your belief, would you change your position, Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, I have to stay objective, man. ultimately, I have to stay objective to it. You know, I feel like when it comes to the timeline and stuff like that, a lot of things I'm not that firm on. I just want to present options as far as concepts is concerned. I feel like the nature of a parasite is to invert and fragment and distort reality. So I think I always look at things like how much is this inverted, you know? I think that,
Who's that? Who's that? Who's that animal?
Who's what? Nobody.
Oh, I heard nobody. Something. I heard something. I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to learn how to see how to frame this question. Okay. So we talked about earlier how people feel some type of way when they hear the truth of. That they can possibly be from here and not from over to a different, you know, continent. Do you think that people are holding on to this belief because it's something that connected us on every continent? Like, dude, is that what you think? Or you just think that it's just simply the status quo?
I think it's like, that's pretty layered, I guess, like why people hold on to it. Because,
yeah.
I think you're definitely going to have a hegemony in the sense of, in the so-called Negro Kingdom, where you got like this, you know, the darker you are, the more validated you are automatically every time. And it's like, this has, you know, we have to look at that through a different scope with a way more objective view, that there's, the darkness doesn't automatically denote the ancientness of a person. And I feel like that is, you know, baked into the ideology or the psychology of people. I feel like where they're saying, you know, that you are essentially lesser than, you know, you're a slave. You don't, you know, and North America created nothing. And then, you know, so, you know, you are a slave from Africa and your family was raped. And that's why you're not as dark. And the people that are here that are dark, they, you know, in America, they automatically get hegemony over you because they're dark. And I feel like that is an issue, you know, that has to be, you know, get resolved, you know, because I feel like it's kind of like a shit rolls downhill type thing where like the darkest person is going to make the brown skinned person feel like they're less black. They make the mocha complected person feel less black. And then it keeps going down, and then it's just separation. It's like the Willie Lynch syndrome. So I think that's like a lot of it is that. So I think a lot of people just look into darkness all just, you know, without really actually, I guess, looking at the substance and the features of a person, because a person could be not as dark, but have the features of a person from this land and not from Africa. So, or not from Europe or Asia. So like, it's, I think it's, it automatically creates a status when there should not be, you know, like if somebody comes into your house and just because they're dark skinned, they're like, this is my house. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's like, come on, this is crazy. You know, like, so I think that there is some truth in it that people were raped. There was crossbreeding that did happen. But I feel like a lot of that is, you know, just more to used as like to reinforce a certain identity of being lesser than and not being the stewards of this land mass.
Right, right. It'll basically, yeah. it'll definitely work in that context, like being the stewards of this land. Okay, I don't mix your blood down, but listen, I am my people. I am my ancestors. You cannot stop me from being my ancestors, okay? All right, still that bloodline still flows in me. So if I wanted to go correct status and stuff like that, they do have certain instruments out there that I can use that can put me back in place. But just because they say, hey, you're not this dark, you know, you're not from this area, well, so you don't have any rights or claim to this land, we're not going to accept that's it. Okay, so listen, man, we've been here for a little while. It's going on an hour. I want you to you know, say some things like how you feel and what do you think before we close this room up, my boy.
Just thank you for having me, man. I guess, you know, if you got some time another time and you want to talk about other things or go into more depth on some of these topics, you know, I mean,
I'm definitely
willing to, man.
Well, let's just give everybody your social media and all those things like that.
Tao Lore on Facebook, TALORE, and then Taylor Durden _ Taylor Durden on Instagram, and Taylor Durden on YouTube.
You can go, it's right there in the chat. Say if you push that little comment thing right there, little button, that little icon, you can put your information in there so people can click it, and so when I basically put the replays on, they'll be able to find you and everything like that. Hey, listen, man, his content is pretty interesting. Like, we just touched the surface right now, okay? I don't like to keep my material too long because I know people have that ADHD shit and they cannot stand still worth a goddamn. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know for a fact, you know? So I'm trying to go ahead.
Now, for the last point I wanted to make, man, because I've seen somebody said, like, that, you know, that they've never heard these arguments. I think if you just look at Africa and look at the Bantu migration, like the Khoisan were in Africa before the Bantu. So, and they're a lighter skinned people. You know what I mean? And they didn't get raped, supposedly. They didn't go through any, they didn't supposedly get colonized and enslaved and all of that. They just were there first. And then darker people came after. Suppose, you know what I mean? That's the main.
Oh, you ready to get it in? How telling you ready to get it in already?
I'm just saying, like, it's not like it's automatically, you know, you're lighter that you're not the steward of an area. And it's not to say, I'm not saying that dark skinned people aren't capable, didn't make amazing things, can't do it today. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that, you know, there's, you know, different people are assigned to different spots.
But environments do change. Like, people, they get accoladed to their environment. We do, you know what I'm saying, learn to adapt and everything like that. So if we're closing to the equator, of course we're going to be darker. We're further away from it. We already know these things, right? Right? We know all these things, right? So I don't, you know what? What I can do is I can close this podcast down and I can open up another room and I can have you go in there. You can have conversation, just a regular, you know, Q&A with people. It's going to be very challenging. You have tough skin. If you want to do that, or you could just say, okay, we could just end this podcast and you just catch on another topic. It's up to you what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I guess we could close this, and if we want to open up another room, we could do that. Because I know, like you said, it's people's attention span.
Right, so I'll send you another link. Hey, man, listen, you already know this. 400 Club Rooftop Talk, your boy, Yay, man. It's been a nice day. It's been a nice afternoon, man. And here we go, man. What you were telling everything, you know? Let's go! Yeah. Woo!
400 Club, we rise above. Rooftop talk, real one, show love. No fake vibes, just truth we speak. Strong minds build every week. We break it down.
While y'all at it, I want y'all to go to my bio and y'all can hit my links. I'm on YouTube. I'm on iHeart. I'm on Apple Podcasts. Hey man, I'm on Spotify. I'm on YouTube. Like I do a little automation. Go in and support me, man. You already know what it is. 400 Club Rooftop Talk is your boy Ye. And listen, I'm gonna open up another room so Teller can have this talk with y'all, man. You gotta be ready. Just be respectful. That's all I ask for you guys, man. Don't try to disrespect my guests. Let's go.